and couldn't read the prompts. It was a fucking feudal society. This was not easy to recover from. Still, he had to know. For the sake of argument, just as a mental exercise, you understand. Randolphus nodded and pursed his lips in sympathetic, total agreement. How else would someone understand their prompts if they didn't actually read them? Well, my lord, the Chamberlain started slowly. Still a bit too slowly by Richter's estimation, but the KRC didn't interrupt. Most children are taught this exercise. He coughed harshly when he saw his liege's glare. As I was saying, this is an exercise that someone as wise as you should grasp easily. When you are given a prompt, I am sure you know how to minimize it to the side of your interface. For lack of a better term, you can maximize the information instead. When the prompt comes, let the information wash over you. Your deep mind will register the knowledge at a fundamental level and will supply the relevant portion to your surface mind. Richter assumed that the man meant conscious and unconscious when he said deep mind and surface mind. Even if Randy didn't, the Chaos Seed would be damned before he asked another question until he tried to figure this out himself. The only question was, how do I test it? He didn't have any prompts waiting at the moment. The easiest way to summon a prompt immediately is to take a small amount of damage, Randolphus supplied. Can this technique work in combat too? Richter said with enthusiasm, his chagrin quickly replaced with excitement. The possibility of being able to register his combat log in a way that wasn't distracting was enough to make him forget his earlier embarrassment. Yes, my lord. What have you been doing with your combat notifications up until now?
I just turned them off, Richter said reasonably. They were distracting.
Once again, Randolphus gave him the look, and Richter felt like he actually heard it this time. Oh, honey. The short-lived, embarrassment-free moment passed, and Richter flared his nostrils.
All right, let's do this.
I need damage, he thought to Alma. Please bite me. She immediately latched onto his hand hard enough to draw a good amount of blood.
Yow!
He shouted, yanking his hand away. He knew that he had told her to do it, but
not even a small protest before you maul me, he protested.
It is always my goal to serve you, master, she thought to him sweetly.
His health had dropped by a small amount and continued to fall slowly as his bleeding status took another health point every few seconds. Prompts appeared in his view, but he consciously didn't read them.
Now, Randolphus started, if the notification windows have reappeared, imagine them becoming even larger and closer in your view until they wash over you.
That's it? Richter asked. The Chamberlain nodded, so he focused his will on the prompt. It was surprisingly easy. The translucent window grew larger and flowed easily towards him, and then he just knew. Richter bitten by Alma for 5 piercing damage. A faint smile came to his face as Alma healed him, leaving only a small bleeding effect. Richter turned his focus to the other prompt that had appeared. Once again, it flowed over him, and he just had the information. You are bleeding. You will lose 1 HP every 5 seconds for the next 32 seconds.
This is amazing,
Richter said, looking at his Chamberlain. A golden glow surrounded his familiar as Alma healed the bleeding. This time he didn't hesitate. The window barely flickered into existence before flowing over him. Richter has been healed by Alma using weak slow heal for 57 health. 30 base times 50% life mastery times 41% intelligence.
Yes, my lord. Amazing.
The fact that Randolphus was humoring him was not lost on the Chaos Seed. Richter was too taken with just how strong his familiar was to care, though. Seeing as how he was already getting schooled, he figured, why not ask another question?
I've been wondering about this for a while. What is the importance of my attributes in changing the strength of spells or combat damage?
Alma has a 41% boost to her spell power, for instance. Randolphus blinked.
Just what is your familiar's intelligence?
Richter did a quick check. 82. The spy looked at Alma with renewed respect. For her part, the Dragonling strutted a little when she saw Randy's obvious admiration. Brat, Richter thought to her.
Hater,
she thought back, still preening. I have got to stop teaching her these phrases, Richter thought to himself.
Your familiar is quite impressive, my lord. Is she also able to develop her own skills?
No, Richter replied. At least I don't think so. Life magic is an ability for her.
Then I would say it is your affinity that affects her intelligence bonus, though it would be her own attribute that determines the base.
Richter just drummed his fingers on the table and fixed his chamberlain with a glare.
Let me attempt to explain it in a different way, my lord. As you have already found, one's attributes can affect their ability to, in turn, affect the world. Intelligence increases spell power. Wisdom increases spell defense, and strength increases melee damage. Agility can also increase melee damage to a smaller extent, and in addition, increases accuracy of both ranged and melee weapons. Dexterity increases ranged damage. There are countless other examples, but those are some of the most common. The bonus that a person gains from a stat varies, however, based upon...
The Chamberlain trailed off as something occurred to him. He looked at Richter with fresh wonder in his eyes.
I know that I've said it before, my lord, but your limitless ability is truly powerful. I believe my earlier assessment that it might be rare or epic was too modest. It could very well be mythic, or even legendary.
Wait for it, Richter said with a smile, channeling NPH.
My lord?
Randy asked, completely not following. I was just saying that I'm legend... What do cows make?
Milk?
Came the slow response a few moments later. Dairy! Richter exclaimed, delighted with himself. Legend Dairy! He was busting a gut at this point. All he got back was a deadpan stare, which was actually a bit lucky because Alma was considering biting him again just to punish him for his horrible sense of humor.
If I may continue, my lord, Randolphus asked.
Richter rolled his eyes at his companion's distinct lack of comedic appreciation.
Go ahead. As I was saying, the bonus an attribute provides is based upon the skill being used and your affinity in that skill. A 50% affinity in life magic, for example, would mean that each point of your intelligence would increase spell power by 0.25%. A 100% affinity, conversely, would give a 0.5% increase for each point. Your familiar spell power seems to be affected by her own intelligence, but your limitless ability also means that all of your skills have a 100% affinity no matter how far you progress. That is why her intelligence of 82 gives her a 41% bonus to spell power when using life magic. Wisdom gives a similar boost to general magic resistance. The other attributes also give bonuses, but the boost per point is even higher, and normally ranges from 1% for a 50% affinity, and 2% for someone such as yourself, my lord.
Richter thought about this newly revealed facet of his limitless ability. An affinity of 100% meant not only that he could learn any skill, but it was also much easier for him to progress in those skills. Most people lost affinity points as they progressed in their skills. That meant the next level was harder to obtain both because their natural ability had less of an effect and because higher levels were just harder to obtain. Richter didn't have to deal with one of those handicaps as his affinity remained at 100%, whether he was skill level 1 or 100. He'd been told that once an affinity had fallen to 50%, it could take years to progress, even one level. All of that had brought him great power in only 6 months, but now he was hearing the ability had an even greater impact than he'd known. If Randy was right, every point he invested in an attribute would make the associated skill stronger to the max amount. It didn't change anything per se. He'd always known he wanted more attribute points. It was nice to know that he was even more of a thug than he'd thought. After he finished patting himself on the back, Richter started thinking about what that meant for others, though. So if everyone else's affinities will gradually decrease as they advance in level, this means that the bonus they get from their attributes will decrease as well, right?
My lord is quite astute, Randolphus told him in approval. It would be paradoxical that the further one advances a skill, the less of a bonus attribute points would provide. Scholars believe that is why there is a second system which also affects the relationship between APs and skill. The bonus is also affected by the rank someone holds in a skill. As you know,
The 6 skill ranks are novice, initiate, apprentice, journeyman, adept, and master. While increasing your skill level provides increasing bonuses each time, reaching certain levels increases your rank, which can provide further unique capabilities. Becoming an initiate in light armor, for instance, unlocks the synergy bonus, which increases the defense of each piece of light armor you wear, as long as you are only wearing light armor. Richter nodded. He'd known all of this beforehand and actually had the synergy bonus. Skill ranks do more than just provide more capabilities. Each rank you reach after novice will guarantee a certain modifier from your attribute points, independent of affinity. It will perhaps be easier if I write this down. I will use life magic as an example. The Chamberlain drew 2 simple tables. The first illustrated the attribute modifier based on affinity. 50% affinity, 0.25% bonus. 60% affinity, 0.3% bonus. 70% affinity, 0.35% bonus. 80% affinity, 0.4% bonus. 90% affinity, 0.45% bonus. 100% affinity, 0.5% bonus. It was easy enough to follow. Just like Randy had said before, every point of intelligence Richter or Alma possessed had the potential to increase the power of their spells by 0.25 to 0.5%. Thanks to his limitless ability, the boost was always maxed at 0.5% per point. The next table the Chamberlain drew showed the effects of ranks on the bonus. Novice rank, 0.25% bonus. Initiate rank, 0.28% bonus. Apprentice rank, 0.31% bonus. Journeyman rank, 0.34% bonus. Adept rank, 0.37% bonus. Master rank, 0.4% bonus. The difference was obvious and clear. Anyone that reached a rank would be guaranteed a point modifier to the relevant skill, but after novice, the boost would never be as much as someone with a high affinity. Put another way, even someone who spent decades becoming a master would not have the boost to their spell power that he did just because of his 100% affinity in every skill. Every point he invested was just worth more than other people's. Limitless didn't just make it possible for him to learn every skill. It made him stronger in every skill as well. His strength let him hit harder, point for point, than even a sword master, and his intelligence made his spells stronger than anyone that might have the same stats. Limitless was stronger and more versatile than he had ever imagined. Randolphus watched the comprehension dawn on his liege's face. Yes, my lord. Study and dedication can take someone far, but those that are born blessed with a high affinity will always reach heights denied to the rest of us. Is this not also true of your world? The first thought that came into Richter's head was Mozart and Salieri. Some things were indeed true, no matter where you were. Seeing his liege's nod, Randolphus continued, I believe you begin to see just how truly blessed you are, my lord. You do not seem to face the same limitations as every other skilled being in the land. Your power could one day rival that of the banished gods. He gave a faintly wry smile, again somewhat ruined by his sharp teeth. I am glad we are on the same side. Richter gave a short laugh. Me too, bud. Randolphus continued talking about the new way of absorbing prompt information. As you can see, letting the notifications flow into you is much faster than simply reading them. You could do this with every prompt you are provided, but I do not advise this. The prompts can become nothing more than random noise, and if you are distracted when one appears, you may forget the information. What I recommend is that you make your combat notifications automated. With training, your deep mind can filter what is important and what is not. Knowing what is happening in a battle may save your life one day. I further recommend that you continue to address individual prompts in your daily life. They can be minimized until you are ready without any real danger. So basically the exact opposite of what I've been doing, Richter thought. Still, it was a good point. I'm so glad I'm finally able to talk about this stuff, man. Now, my next question... Richter was interrupted by the sound of footsteps in the hallway outside of the room. Without even a wave of his hand, the Chamberlain resumed his previous appearance. With a low and urgent voice, he cautioned his lord.
Remember, tell no one of my true nature. I will not be using my ability to cloak myself while in the village. It limits my power too much. I am using a talent of my specialty to look completely human. It will not limit my capabilities, but it is also not perfect as a disguise.
I will keep your secret, Richter promised. Do not break faith with me, and I will not break faith with you. Please know that you can be yourself in this village, though, if you choose to be.
Randolphus bowed his head in thanks. The guard knocked on the door, and Richter bade him enter. The man was carrying Richter's weapons and armor. A village woman followed behind with a steaming ewer of water. The woman helped him wash, and the conversation between the two companions turned to more mundane village matters. Also important, but boring as Mormon sin. Once Richter was more presentable, the guard helped him don his armor. Richter didn't like walking around the village in full gear, but the chamberlain said it was important that his people saw him as powerful, especially after a battle. Richter checked to make sure his blades were loose in their sheaths, almost a matter of reflex at this point. Then his face hardened, and he spoke firmly.
Let's go bury our dead.
Chapter 14, Day 141, Qu'Born 31, 0 AOC. Alma flew up to his shoulders, and they all walked out of the catacombs. Futon was waiting by the cave mouth and silently started floating along beside Richter. At the bottom of the hill, Sion, Tirad, and Calder were waiting along with a contingent of guards and Maedon sprites. All clapped their hands to their chests in salute.
I have assigned 20 guards to watch the refugees, Tirad informed Richter. 40 are standing watch by the grave. The rest of your forces stand beside you, my lord.
The Maedon sprites are with you, Lord Richter.
Sion seconded loudly, and his entire squad of magic archers, more than 80 strong, straightened to attention. Richter was blown away. He had led his forces to victory, but it had been at a heavy cost. Families were broken in a way that could never be mended. Open revolt by his people wasn't something he had overly worried about, but he still hadn't been sure that his people wouldn't be cursing his name either. Seeing such a unified show of support touched him to his core. It also reaffirmed his determination to lead his people to power and security. He had been doubting his decision to attack the Goblin settlement since seeing the Butcher's Bill, but knowing his people remained steadfast in their support of him erased that worry. The Goblins had been a threat to his entire community, and after seeing the power of the Bloodstone, he knew that Hisako had been correct. The stone could have defeated even the magical mists that protected his village. The death toll would have been far worse if they had waited until the goblins were entrenched and reinforced. He didn't even want to consider what might have happened if the goblins had been able to get through the shield that had protected the chaotic shard. The best-case scenario would have been that the chaotic energy was unleashed all at once. Just a small fraction of it had escaped when Richter had found it. That small bit, though, had been enough to change the very landscape of the land. It had created his dungeon and the three strange areas around it. Unleashing all the chaos at once could have literally done anything. The only thing worse might have been the goblins harnessing the power to their own dark ends. Richter returned the salutes of his fighting men and women. Then, with them marching behind him, he started walking towards the village gate. Night had fallen, but mist lights hovered in the air all around them, easily lighting the way. Before he had crossed half the distance, he was met by his companion Alora, queen of the Celestial Pixies. She hovered in midair, wearing a snow-white dress made from the leaves of the quickening. Behind her flew what remained of her children, those that had not suffered Sakeru, the Severing.
Queen Alora, Richter greeted her softly.
My lord Richter,
she replied, curtsying in midair. There was no accusation in her gaze when she straightened, but there was sadness. Behind her, the pixies sang a low-pitched dirge of lament and remembrance.
I'm sorry for the loss of your children, he told her with feeling.
The land is a place of harsh realities. The most cruel truth is also the most common. Death comes quickly to us all. I learned that long ago as my people died from a magical plague, one by one, until I was the very last.
I have not forgotten that you are the reason my children have been able to live in safety unto this point.
She flew closer until she was only inches from his face. Her skin shone with the faintest of luminescence. He would not have been able to see her in the dark from even a few feet away, but this close, he could see the faint glow coming from her silver skin, like a moonlit sea on a clear night. Alma shifted on his shoulders, not liking any being coming so close to her master, but the brilliant dragonling knew Richter had little to fear from the pixie queen.
I do not blame you for their deaths, Lord Richter. I have learned that keeping them away from their Maidon is no guarantee of safety, however. Out of respect to you, my liege, I fought against the dictates of my own heart when you suggested they stay out of battle. I now know that was wrong. Despite their age, my children...
Ballora paused, pained, then spoke with resolve.
Pixies belong with their bonded sprites. My children must be allowed to accompany the other half of their souls into danger. At least then they can help to protect one another.
Richter had indeed pushed to keep the pixie children safely within the confines of the village. They had petulantly protested, but neither the Maidon sprites nor Ellora had resisted his will. Now, though, he couldn't argue with what Ellora was saying. Disregarding the facts that she was their mother and their queen, she was right. He hadn't known at the time that the death of a Maidon sprite would also cause this Sakaru in their bonded pixie. At least together, they were both more likely to survive. Richter sighed with the weight of his responsibilities. Once again, he was reminded that his old conceptions of right and wrong that had worked on Earth might be too rigid for the land.
It will be as you say, Queen Ellora, he replied formally.
Then, with a softer tone, he asked her,
Will you come with me to put our fallen to rest?
Of course, my lord. My place is at your side.
So saying, she flew over his head and hovered above and behind him like a halo. When he started walking forward, the pixie children fell in behind their queen. Such was the procession of Richter of the Mist Village. To his left, the men and women of the guard followed his companion Tirad, strong and steadfast. To his right, the Maidon sprites walked silently behind his companion Sion, loyal and true. Behind him, trailed his companion Randolphus, silent and watchful, and above him flew his companion Ellora, noble and hopeful. The five companions moved together towards the new gravesite of the Mist Village, united in purpose to give honor to their dead. Chapter 15, Day 141, Kuborn 31, 0 AOC. Mist lights had been arrayed around the mass grave, and the bodies had been laid within. Quiet sobbing echoed around the gathering, and the villagers clumped together to look down at the dead. As Richter watched, he saw no separation of humans, elves, dwarves, or gnomes. Village guards stood in a loose circle around the funeral, on the lookout for monsters or beasts that might attack now that they were all outside the village walls. The wood sprites of Hisako's army stood on the other side of the grave, silent and respectful. Their own dead would be taken back to the hearth tree to feed its roots and thereby continue to nourish the tribe. The hearth mother herself stood at one end of the grave, waiting quietly for Richter, Yoshi at her side. As the Chaos Seed walked closer, the murmuring conversation ceased. The villagers watched their lord approach, flanked by his vassals and companions. The pixies spread out in the air above everyone present, continuing to sing their soft lament. Ellora hovered over the grave itself, leading the song of her people. Tears began to fall more freely from the eyes of almost everyone present. The village began to grieve. The guards that had escorted Richter spread out to help in securing the perimeter, following a previous order from Tirad. The Maidon sprites did the same. It would be a bold monster that would attack the combined forces standing vigilant this night, but many mindless beasts roamed the dark of the forest. A small platform had been brought out and placed at the head of the grave. It was just two steps up, but it let all present see him. Alma stood upright on one of his shoulders, and Futon floated above the other. Hisako was already there waiting for him. Richter ascended and turned to look out upon the assembly,
He began to speak.
My people,
he projected, looking at his villagers standing to the right of the grave.
My allies,
he continued, looking at Hisako's sprite army standing on the left.
There is a wisdom from my homeland that I would share with you now. Each day I breathe, I am more convinced that the true tragedy of life is not in its ending, but in its waste. The love that has not been shared, the chances that have not been taken, the craven caution that robs us of what we truly need, meaning.
He pointed to the grave and pyres.
These brave men and women fought for us,
he cried.
They fought for you. We will grieve their deaths, but this night, surrounded by darkness with tears on our cheeks, I also want us to celebrate the lives that they led. Their names will be immortalized in stone, but first, we will share their names with the air.
Richter began to recite the names of the dead. The parchment that Randolphus had prepared for him was already etched in his memory. The time he had spent with his fighting men and women made it easy to recall the fallen. As he spoke each name, that soldier's face came to his mind, and sometimes even a scrap of memory. Perhaps a man laughing at a ribald joke, or a woman smiling at a friend's tale. Soon, tears fell down his cheeks while he paid homage to those who had fallen. He listed the names of the Maidon sprites and finally came to the pixies that had been lost due to Sakeru. Richter did not know their names, so he simply spoke of the beauty of the pixie race and thanked Alora for her sacrifice. The whole time he had spoken, the mournful dirge of the pixies had continued. Now it rose in intensity. Tears fell from every eye, and the villagers held each other in their grief. Alora's racial ability, Celestial Pixie Song, activated.
Know this. You are witness to the song of honored loss. The reverence you have shown to the pixies lost to Sakeru has moved Queen Alora. She has shared the sorrow of her heart. Everyone present is afflicted with cherished sadness. -100% to village production. This will improve by +10% per hour. -95% to motivation of all afflicted for the duration of the song. This will improve by +10% per hour. The Celestial Pixies understand that sadness is not to be avoided, but cherished. The emotional pain caused by cherished sadness will cleanse the souls of all afflicted. Any morale or loyalty losses the village would have suffered from the deaths of its people are reduced by -50%. The emotional healing process for all who have suffered loss is increased by +200%.
An almost crippling sorrow overtook Richter. As he looked around, he saw that even Yoshi and Randolphus wept. Alma pressed her body tightly across his shoulders, and a keening rose among all gathered. An icon that looked like a heart with a crack down the middle appeared in the corner of his vision. It was a sickly green, and a teardrop of the same color oozed from the crack.
You are afflicted with cherished sadness.
There was more that Richter was going to say, but the song accomplished what his words would only have attempted. The healing process had begun. Hisako slid her small hand inside his. As he looked at her, he was surprised at the rough calluses on her palms and fingers. He started to speak, then realized he did not know what to say. Even if he did, his heart could not bear the strain of one more word. She simply nodded at him in understanding and showed him what could be done. The Hearth Mother raised her voice in song, and hundreds of sprites of various races did the same. For the first time in millennia, sprites joined the other half of their souls in song. The song triggered something primal and pure within them, and their voices perfectly complemented the pixies flying above. Richter and the other villagers bathed in the music of pixie and sprite alike as the fallen were sent peacefully to their rest.
Chapter 16, Day 141, Kuborn 31, 0, AOC.
The song lasted for nearly an hour. A prompt appeared in Richter's vision that he absorbed and dismissed.
Quest update. Unity of the Sorat Shin 2.
Pixies and sprites of various races have joined their voices in song for the first time in millennia. This has reminded them that they can be so much more together than they could ever be apart. Continue your efforts to make the Sorat Shin, the true sprites, a reality once again. All sprites, regardless of race, regard Maidan sprites with great affection. Plus 2,500 relationship points to any sprite relationship with Maidan sprites.
It was one step closer to reuniting the sprite peoples. The analytical part of Richter also realized that his companion Sion was quickly becoming someone who could rally sprite armies from around the world. That was a discussion for another time, though.
Only Futin and the Mistworker standing nearby seemed unaffected. The Remnant gave a silent order and the gray constructs began shoveling dirt back into the pit soon after the song started. By the time the pixie and sprite voices fell silent, the grave had been filled in and all that remained was a patch of bare earth. This did not last long. Hisako stepped forward and began to cast. Soft tones fell from her lips as green energy surrounded her hands. The light fell in gentle waves upon the earth and flowed forward over the grave. Green grass began to appear, and in seconds, the grave was covered. The radiance faded from her hands, but only for a moment, until she began another casting. This time, golden light suffused her hands, and soon, flowers of the same shade began to sprout up until the entire area was carpeted in beauty. Richter smiled at her in appreciation. The sadness and emotion the song had evoked was still within him, but an hour had passed. The effect was not nearly as absolute as before. His tongue had been frozen as he grieved for his people, but he could now say what was in his heart. "My people," he began, and hundreds of red-rimmed eyes turned towards him. "There were many words that I was going to say, but it all comes down to a thank you, an apology, and a promise. Thank you for standing with me. I am sorry that I could not save everyone. I promise that no matter what comes for us, I will stand with you."
There was silence for a moment. Then, a female gnome holding a small child stepped forward and pointed to the grave.
"My husband lies beneath this ground. Before he left to follow you, I begged him not to go. I told him he did not need to fight for you."
She paused and looked down at her crying babe for a moment, struggling to control herself. She looked back up, and the loss on her face nearly broke Richter's heart anew.
"I remember what he said to me, word for word. He told me, 'I respect our Lord, but I would not leave you to fight for him. I am leaving to fight for our family. Lord Richter has made a home for our child, where she will get the chance to grow and learn. He is a good man. My husband's name was Potor.'"
The fierceness in her gaze intensified.
"Are you the man that my husband believed you to be? Will you continue to protect us?"
Her questions tipped the scales in his already precarious emotional state. Tears once again fell freely down his cheeks. With a catch in his voice, he said,
"I am that man. I will fight and die for your family."
Richter raised his eyes and looked at the rest of his villagers.
"I would do the same for all of you. I will not make you false promises. I cannot promise that you will all be safe."
He pointed to the grave, a mirror to the woman that had just been speaking.
"We all know that we are not safe. There is no true safety in the land, but we are alive. We are alive because of Potor and all our brothers and sisters who died so that we could live. So that we could live and be free."
Richter continued to look around, meeting the eyes of his people one by one.
"They did not die in vain. We struck a mighty blow against our enemies. Hundreds of goblins and trolls are dead. Our mighty ally, Hisako of the Hearth Tree, was correct. The goblins had a powerful weapon. Maybe not today or even next week, but one day they would have used it against us. Now, though, because of the brave men and women of the Mist Village, we have taken that weapon, and it will serve us!"
A few scattered cheers rang out. Ever since returning to the village, Richter had approached this conversation like an apology. All that had been in his mind had been sorrow over the deaths of his people and his responsibility in it. He had led them to war, after all. Now, though,
Thanks to the words Potor had spoken to his wife, and thanks to her bravery and conviction, he remembered the real truth. The truth that he was the man the gnome had described. At least he strived to be that man every day. Even if he fell short from time to time, Potor had been right. He was making something special here. Something that was worth fighting for. They all were. The Mist Village was more than just earth and stone. It was an idea worth dying for. Richter looked back at the gnome woman and repeated, "I am that man. Your husband was right. This village is not just a collection of buildings and people. It is a beginning. Every villager will have the chance to grow their power to the limit of their affinities. It will not be without risk. I will not promise that all of us will make it to the end, but those who do will have earned something more powerful than spells and stronger than steel. You will have earned your freedom from fear. No longer will you have to fear the might of those stronger than you. No longer will you have to fear that each day will bring someone stronger than you who will take your children. No longer will you have to fear being alone. They," he said, extending a finger and swinging it above the heads of everyone present, as if to indicate the entire world, "will rue the day they challenged our might. We are not prey. We are predators. And they will fear us." It was dead silent for a moment. Then one of the villagers shouted,
"Through service, ascendance!"
Richter unleashed his sword and held it up in the air. Trusting Randolphus, he cast weak water damage. A blue glow surrounded the blade, making it stand out like a beacon in the night.
"Through dedication, transcendence!"
he shouted back. Another villager took up the call.
"Through service, ascendance!"
Richter responded once again, and this time several other villagers took up the call.
"Through dedication, transcendence!"
Dozens of villagers shouted,
"Through service, ascendance!"
Nearly half the crowd shouted back,
"Through dedication, transcendence!"
On the next iteration, almost every villager was shouting both the call and the refrain, while Richter stood before them, his green elementum blade held aloft and illuminated by his magic. Even the gnome woman who had questioned him was shouting while throwing her fist into the air. He could not have known that while his words were heartfelt, it was his recent victory and high charisma and fame that had made his people's response almost a foregone conclusion. It didn't matter, though. All that mattered was this moment they all shared and what it meant for the future. Hisako watched her fierce-eyed ally bathe in the reverence of his people. Even the Maidan sprites that had been part of her own forces days before were caught up in the force of Richter's personality and were chanting along with the villagers. The pixies circled above him, singing a song of loyalty now, and Alora hovered before him, the jewel in his multicolored crown. Hisako still detected no evil within him, but long years of life had made her cautious. The Hearthmother stood by her ally, but decided to keep one eye on him and the other on the future. Chapter 17, Day 141, Qubourne 31, 0 AOC. Unseen by anyone in the village, a young but powerful creature fed nearby. The crystal stone marking the dungeon's southern border pulsed. It was still too weak to exert its power for more than a moment, but cold blue light kindled in the heart of the small mountain range, a siren song to animals and beasts alike. Only two animals were ensorcelled, but it was a start, and the dungeon could not yet feel impatience. A Jennet prowler sniffed and approached the massive vines that covered the dungeon's eastern side. It did not know why it felt compelled to approach, but it did so nonetheless. It was cautious, but still entranced by the mesmerizing movement of the writhing plants. The magical beckoning of the crystal stone overrode its natural instincts, and it crept closer and closer until it was too late. A mass of vines shot out and wrapped around the prowler's head, legs, and body. It yelped and tried to pull away, but within seconds, it had been dragged into the heart of the carnivorous plant. Tendrils shot first into its mouth, nose, ears, eyes, and anus rupturing and rending. Tears appeared in its hide, and more green shoots pierced its body through these meaty pathways. A loud snap came as its spine fractured under the strain. Blood soaked the vines and was greedily lapped up by the predator's roots. Even as the vines fed, the essence of the animal was absorbed by the dungeon. On the western side of the dungeon lay a broad swath of midnight blue sand. It sparkled faintly in spots where no light touched it, but the light was a distraction evolved eons before to draw the curious and unwary closer. The Koran Tusker that had been beckoned by the glimmer of the crystal stone did not see a random scattering of light in the night. It saw the eyes of another Tusker challenging it. The monster squealed and raced forward to do battle, and in so doing, crossed onto the sand. It sank like a stone through clouds, not even leaving an imprint to mar the smooth blue surface. While it plummeted downwards, the weight of the sand above it increased. Its body was crushed well before the pressure of the sand above should have been able to do so. The Tusker's flesh, blood, and organs were all separated, pulped, and mashed in a matter of seconds. Its energy was consumed, and its pattern was learned. The dungeon had fed. It was time to grow monsters. Chapter 18, Day 142, Kuborn 32, 0 AOC. The funeral finished, and they all re-entered the safety of the village walls. The sadness of the pixie's song still held them in its grip. After the fervor of Richter's speech had died down, all anyone wanted to do was sleep. Luckily, the guards watching the refugees were far enough away that they were not affected by the pixie's song. Some were retasked to maintain a watch on the walls. The mists themselves should keep the freed prisoners from causing any trouble. Even still, Richter summoned mist workers to stand behind the village gate. They wouldn't fight, even to defend themselves, but if some beast attacked in the night, it would at least be slowed down. Richter went inside with the rest of his people. Once again, he offered his quarters to Hisako, but she refused, choosing instead to pass the night under the boughs of the quickening. In fact, everyone, wood sprite and villager alike, decided the aura of the celestial tree might be exactly what they needed. Minutes later, the ground around and beneath the white tree was filled with slumbering forms. Richter's belt of sustenance greatly reduced the sleep he required. His weary body and heartsick soul kept him asleep until the sun was well overhead, though. An unofficial holiday, a concept that too many of the villagers were completely unfamiliar with, arose. Everyone stayed near the quickening and spoke of the living and dead. In their sharing, the emotional wounds stayed open and continued to drain away the anger that might have poisoned the village as a whole. The healing continued. Even Richter remained lying on the grass after he awoke and dealt with the prompts he had earned the night before. He practiced his new technique of maximizing the prompts, though he read them as well just to be sure he wasn't missing anything. Know this. Battles involving your village army have an effect on the day-to-day life of your villagers and the administration of your village. Master of the Mist Village, you have won your first raid. Your village statistics have been adjusted accordingly. Plus 25% total village morale for having a 100% success rate in battle in your last 5 battles. This will last until your village suffers a military defeat. Plus 100 morale points for winning your last battle. This bonus will last for 1 month and will fade by minus 25 morale points per week. Minus 30 morale points for losing 6% of your total population. Plus 500 morale points for adding a dungeon to the village. Total morale points, plus 1,865. Morale rank of Mist Village increased from Delighted, rank 2, to Elated, rank 3. Morale bonus to Fighting Spirit, population growth, and productivity increased from 20% to 30%. Your people are elated to have such a wonderful lord. They spend time finding ways to brighten your day. You can expect small gifts from time to time. Richter stopped.
It shouldn't be a surprise that the battle would affect the village mechanics, but still, to see the actual effect was an education. On the one hand, battle could increase the morale of his village. That was nothing to take for granted. Every rank the village morale rose increased population growth, fighting spirit, and productivity by plus 10%. It wasn't an idle increase. Richter had seen more than a few baby bumps walking around the village. On the other hand, the boost in morale was temporary. The loss of morale from the deaths of his people was permanent, though. The message was clear. In the land, war could be a useful tool to grow one's settlement, but it was not without risk. The simple fact was that luck had played just as much of a role in the battle as skill. Richter was lucky his entire force hadn't been wiped out. The web traps from the Isingai Queen, the superior weaponry and potions of his forces, the foolish anger of the enemy commander, all had contributed to their victory, of course. Even with the many advantages they'd had, the combined forces of the Wood Sprites and Mist Village had only been able to fight the goblins to a standstill. The battle could have easily tipped either way. What had actually won the day was the creation of a new consciousness in the Bloodstone once it had been touched by raw chaos. That same entity now resided within the dungeon because of a deal Richter had made. Who knew what the long-term consequences of that decision would be? Everything had worked out so far, and they had gained a great deal from the battle. Still, Richter resolved not to forget that he had to be more than a warmonger. It also could not be ignored that Richter had burned thousands of gold coins worth of resources in that one battle. It was not a strategy he could replicate without end. Doing so could lead to anything from economic ruin to a full-scale revolt of his people. He remembered some of the first words he had heard upon coming to the land. You are not in a game. He went on to the next prompts. Plus 25% village loyalty for having a 100% success rate in battle in your last 5 battles. This will last until your village suffers a military defeat. Plus 50 loyalty points for winning your last battle. Plus 25 loyalty points for your speech at the village funeral. Minus 15 loyalty points for losing 6% of your total population. Plus 300 loyalty points for adding a dungeon to the village. Total loyalty points, plus 2,120. Loyalty rank of Mist Village increased from Enthusiastic, rank 2, to Reliable, rank 3. Base productivity of your villagers and village now increased from 20% to 40%. You can trust your people to do their work without supervision. They begin to put the well-being of the settlement above their own. Richter thought. The loyalty boost from winning the battle was much smaller than the morale boost, but it also looked to be permanent. It was nice to know that his speech the night before had also gone over well. He was a bit surprised to see such a bump in loyalty for adding a dungeon to the village. As he thought about it, though, he remembered a boost in loyalty from adding both core buildings and the quickening. It seemed that adding monuments that made the village more powerful increased both the loyalty and morale of those living within it, which again, he supposed, made sense. Who wouldn't be loyal and happy to live in a place that had the potential to make them powerful? It'd be like wanting to leave a town that offered free housing, porn, and milkshakes back on Earth. After internalizing the information, Richter accessed his village status screen to see how well things were progressing overall. There were still many tabs grayed out, but he was heartened by what he could see. Village Mechanics. Village Tenet, number 1. An Honorable Ruler. Rank 1. Effect, plus 1 change in loyalty per day, max plus 500. Morale. Elated. Rank plus 3. Effect, plus 20% productivity, population growth, and fighting spirit. Your people are elated to have such a wonderful lord. They spend time finding ways to brighten your day. You can expect small gifts from time to time. Loyalty. Reliable. Rank plus 3. Effect, plus 40% productivity. Your people will believe your words and follow your commands more easily. Your words can even start to sculpt their ideas and beliefs. They begin to put the well-being of the settlement above their own. Health. Healthy. Rank plus 2.
Effect, plus 10% population growth, morale, loyalty, and disposition of your villagers towards you. Your people are healthy and hale. Fighting Spirit. Aggressive. Rank plus 1. Effect. Plus 5% damage dealt by your forces. Values adjusted only while defending the domain of the Mist Village. Village Dynamics. Population Growth. Plus 56% to population growth rate. Current village population, 689. Productivity. Plus 69% to village activities, not including Song of Honored Loss. Additional plus 10% to constructing buildings due to workshop level 1. Additional plus 5% to building ships due to ship cradle. Research. Daily earned research, 13.1 RP per day. Current research topic, predict auspicious times 1, Forge of Heavens. 199.05 of 320 research points. Projected time to completion, 9 days, 5 hours, 35 minutes, 16 seconds. The Mist Village was young, but it was doing well. The bonuses from morale and loyalty meant they were primed for rapid growth. Richter reminded himself not to forget that the macro effects that were on his interface didn't take into account individual feelings. Though the overall mood of the village was elated, it didn't mean there wasn't one villager plotting against him even now. Still, the increased productivity, population growth, and fighting spirit undeniably put his settlement in a good position for the future. Specifically, the plus 56% to population growth caught his attention. Richter still felt a little weird knowing that his life mastery was making his villagers knock out of boots more than they would be otherwise. But hey, he also wasn't complaining. He did have one irrational fear that one day a mob of chronically pregnant women might murder him in his sleep if they found out his ability was why they kept ending up in the family way. But that was a concern for another day. A more serious consideration had come from one of Randolphus's many reports. The Chamberlain had found that not only were the village animals giving birth extremely quickly, but that the young animals were also growing and maturing faster than they should be. The same was true for crops. The benefit to the crops and animals was further increased by the quickening having reached level 2. The Celestial Tree increased the yield of all resources in his domain by plus 25%. Knowing that, of course, brought another irrational fear to Richter's brain. Did his Bounty of Life ability or the quickening bonus mean that the actual time women were pregnant would be shortened to something like 6 months? Somehow, he didn't think expectant moms would just take a shortened gestation in stride. Then again, maybe he'd become their favorite person. That waddle they had at the end didn't look fun, though it did look funny. Thankful that he'd never been dumb enough to voice that last thought out loud, he moved on to the next tile of the village's status page. The health of the group was something he really, really didn't want to fall. Living as the lord of a medieval village was all well and good, as long as it didn't actually get medieval up in here. The rewards provided for having reached rank 2 in the village dynamic were modest, but certainly better than the alternative. On Earth, he'd been a passing student of history, as well as a medical student, so he definitely understood the importance of having a healthy population. Richter had a real fear of his population becoming diseased. He'd even had Randolphus start stressing the importance of regular bathing to the villagers. Some of these guys and gals were a bit too used to walking around smelling like an old jockstrap. On a more serious note, though, Richter knew that disease could make whole civilizations crumble. The Black Death had wiped out hundreds of millions of people and had stalled progress in Europe for centuries. He didn't even want to think about what the magical equivalent of a plague would bring. The only one he knew about had wiped the entire pixie race off the face of the land. It was a profound relief to see that the village was healthy. The productivity tab was also exciting. His people built things and accomplished tasks significantly faster at this point. As soon as Roswan came back from his trial, buildings would be popping up like groundhogs on Viagra. It also meant that the speed with which the village could make weapons and armor should increase substantially. That would definitely help fulfill his trade treaty with Hisako and outfit his people for the upcoming battle with the undead. It was the last tab that really caught his attention. He knew that his two scholars, Bartle and Bee, had been recruiting more researchers from amongst the villagers. He had no idea they had been so successful, though. While anyone could just sit around and think, of course, the village could only progress in its technology through people that had the research skill. Every skill level in research meant that a person could add 0.1 research points to the daily village pool. Reaching higher ranks of the skill increased that. It wasn't enough just to have the skill, however. A person had to spend at least 8 hours a day trying to advance a certain tech in order to ensure that their skill would be added to the daily total. Bartle and Bee both hated research, Richter recalled with a smile. Despite that, it was clear they hadn't been shirking their duties. The two scholars had initially only been able to generate about 4 research points between them. They had both advanced at least 1 skill level in research since coming to the village. They had also recruited enough people to almost double the number of RPs being generated in the House of Scholarship each day. Richter added the scholars to his Get Them a Fruit Basket list. Richter reviewed the status page one more time before closing it. Then, he checked his debuff icon for Cherished Sadness. The heart symbol that had been fully green was now half red. The timer showed he still had 5 hours and 21 minutes left until it faded completely. The effects from the Pixie's Song of Honored Loss were much less powerful now, and he no longer felt such an intense ache in his chest. He actually felt a bit better than he'd expected he would. The loss of motivation was also less acute, but Richter decided to just keep lying on the ground. He listened to his people talk around him and to the soft song of the Pixies. Soon, he was drifting off, and with each passing second, the Pixies' song continued to heal his wounded soul. Chapter 19, Day 142, Coborn 32, 0 AOC.
My lord.
A hand shook his shoulder lightly, and a soft voice repeated,
My lord, it is time to wake.
Richter opened his eyes. The canopy of the quickening was thick enough that little direct sunlight came through, but the morning was shining all around him. He blinked and focused on his chamberlain's face. His fake face, Richter thought to himself for a moment. Then he realized that didn't really matter to him at all. After all, his own face was not exactly the one he'd been born with, at least on Earth. Besides, he couldn't remember the last time he'd felt so good. A quick check showed that the Cherished Sadness debuff had faded. He reached a hand out and Randolphus helped him to his feet. Many of the villagers were still relaxing beneath the leaves of the quickening, but others were up and about. An easy smile found its way to his face. The Pixie's Song of Honored Loss hadn't just helped him deal with the deaths of his people. It also seemed to have eased the weight of the many other worries and responsibilities that had slowly been burdening his soul. He felt like he had been washed clean. Richter hadn't forgotten anything, but at least for the moment, he wasn't distracted by worries and self-recriminations. He felt at peace. Richter looked around. From the expressions on his people's faces, many of them felt the same way he did. He turned his attention back to his chamberlain. With a light and heavy voice, he asked, Hey, man, what's going on?
The day is marching on, my lord. You seemed to need the rest, but now that the effect of the Pixie song has faded, there are things I believe must be brought to your attention, the first of which is tonight's celebration.
Richter gave a carefree nod, but didn't respond immediately. He just started walking towards the dragon's cauldron. He was starving, but he also didn't like the fact that he had absolutely no health, stamina, or mana potions in his bag. Also, he needed to know where his familiar was. Alma, where are you, love?
I'm hunting,
came the immediate reply. The dragonling sent him an aerial view of the mountains north of the village.
You slept so long,
she sent with a bit of annoyance and more than a touch of boredom. I needed it, he sent back in mock defense.
Hm,
came the reply, with an insouciant hint of feminine disdain.
Would you like me to come back now? You don't need another nap.
Just get your scaly butt back here, he sent with a laugh. I think it's time we explore the dungeon. Feel like a little battle?
Mmm,
she thought to him, a blend of excitement and hunger. Her view changed quickly as she banked and started winging back towards the village. Richter turned his attention back to Randolphus.
Now, what's this about a party? We just buried our dead. Why would we throw a party?
The Chamberlain's voice was more serious than Richter would have expected.